rooms at the bottom where for parking the vehicles and all, it kept very soft structure. Soft structure in the sense we have only columns, no walls, so it can take lesser loads. That makes softer compared to the above. Above is rigid because you have walls also in addition to the columns. That soft kind of soft stories design concept was not acceptable after Kobe earthquake. And people, some places they have rehabilitated and retrofitted. But the other places, even for example Nepal, there are a lot of soft story structures have failed. You can see, no, bottom totally collapsed. Top was rigid and it was standing. I think many structures, if you recollect even newspapers, you could see that. One of the things I showed there. Top one is good, but bottom columns fail because of the soft story concept. The soft story designs are not acceptable. So that has to be modified as per the observations we have made in the past earthquakes. If you don't make, then you have the similar kind of failures, exactly like whatever Nepal you have seen. And other industrial facilities we have. Another important kind of hazard is a fire. Fortunately in Nepal, per capita power consumption may be very less. The short circuit seen any fire hazard or fire in the Nepal earthquakes, whereas in Kobe lot of fires were there. In 1923 Kanto earthquake of Japan, where 150,000 people died, it was mainly because of fire. I heard, you know, the people when they were trying to run away, the fire also followed them. The losses were very large in the case of due to the fire after the earthquake. That is big hazard due to the earthquakes. Like Mumbai city, definitely you will have a lot of fire because of the electrical connection, maybe gas. In Japan, they have I think in the night lamps, they have a small amount of gas also supplied, I think, along with the electrical supply. That is one of the reasons I think the fire broke, that is what people say. They also have automatic shut off whenever earthquake comes, the supply of the gas to the houses are stopped, all kinds of things there, but still they have a large fire. So fire will be one of the important you know, hazard after the earthquakes, one should be taken care of. Now industrial piping and all has the similar failures as I said. The another important thing is aftershocks. See, some of the structures when it see the main shock, it will withstand. There are also some damages possible. Now if you don't judge what kind of damage it is and people start living in that, the next shock, though it is very small because the capacity of the structure reduced, the next shock may be the, say, 7.8 has become a 5.5 or 6, there is a chance for failure. So it is very important to know after the main shock, you have to identify whether this particular structure you can live or not. There is a big, you know, disaster management plans. Disaster management team generally visits the earthquake in affected areas. They put a board, you know, on every house. I have not seen in the Nepal, maybe I don't know, but they also must be there, maybe NDMA of our country must have helped them. But you generally see their notice board that this you can leave or don't leave, keeping the aftershock effects onto the structure. They can assess, a team of experts when they walk around, they can assess that whether they can take the next expected aftershocks. If you put that board, then people will not occupy. If that kind of information disaster management people not able to do, then the, see, most of the public, they want to live in their houses because many other reasons. Once they go there and you have an aftershock, generally if it is not having sufficient strength, there is a possibility of failure. One of the things are here. Same thing happened in Nepal after the, that is, you have the new 7.2 earthquake, the structure failed because it damaged in the main shock. Now same thing happened in Japan also. This is a structure, you know, main shock, it tilted. But aftershock totally collapsed. So aftershocks also very, very important. It's not that once you design, then it is surviving with certain large deformations, but still not collapsed, and you try to say, stay there, you should be very careful and decide based on the, maybe take the opinion of the experts and say whether we can leave or not. If they say you can leave, then go. Otherwise, this kind of problems will be there. Now, general thoughts that, seeing this kind of experiences, anyway, I have seen earthquakes since my 6th standard onwards. That time I was not knowing that I will be working on earthquake engineering. I was sitting in a theater with my sister. Those days, you know, we had to sit on the ground. And you have a metal sheets on the theater top. Earthquake, it was a Bhadrachalam earthquake, 1965 or so. We all just ran out because it makes so much sound because the sheets, everybody got afraid and ran out. Within no time, again, everything settled because the epicenter was quite away, not much. But the kind of disturbance you see is very, very large. Now, you know, having this kind of experiences, then we have a Latur earthquake, then this is what experience I have within the short span of maybe I am 55 years old, we have so much experience. Seeing that, you know, all our old structure, heritage structures, not only heritage structure, but our own houses also, we should take care. Like, you know, as you are taking the care of your health, you also have to take care of your structural health. In Mumbai, every year we are losing about 300 structures. That's what I heard as per the statistics. It's not because of earthquake, because of the normal conditions itself, we are losing so many. So how many people are losing their life, you can understand. So everybody should have, wherever they are standing, they should understand what structure it is, whether it is safe to stay or not. If you find some kind of deterioration, definitely consult the people around and try to rectify and try to have a safer structure. Coming to here, so we have a lot of important structures in the country, and these are the structures I just happened to see in Jodhpur. When I went to last year Jodhpur, I saw the structure a little bit carefully with respect to the seismic safety or the life of the structures. See, these are the conditions. You can see the sag. This is in the Maharanj port, I think, Moti Mahal. In the Moti Mahal, you can see the sag of the beam. It is maybe many hundreds of years, maybe a life, how many years back made, I am not very clear, but definitely maybe 100 or 200 years back they must have made. You can see the sag. Now keep like this and you have a certain kind of disturbance like earthquake and all, it is very difficult to say that this is going to survive. So after having this kind of observation in most of the important structures, maybe people have to put some efforts, maybe NDME or some other agencies, they have to try to have the retrofit of this particular fort and so that it can go for a long time. Here there is a, through the bottom from the ground, there is a chloride ingress from the bottom, so the bottom of the walls is getting deteriorated. So obviously the strength reduces, any kind of small shaking it will fail. So these are the structures we have to, and similar to maybe in some of our structures also you will find this kind of things, though it has maybe 20 or 30 years life already spent. So these kind of things when you observe, try to attend immediately and have a safer structure. Now you have also, I think this kind of structures you will see in most of the part of the country. Not only country, in city also you can see this kind of structures. And people are living maybe also. Now as I said, if you summarize, the structures can fail because of the exceeding the capacity, because of the deterioration in the resistance of the structural members it can fail. And because of your improper load distribution, stiffness distribution, and if you are not properly using it, there are the some of the reasons why it fails in the normal condition also. This I would like to show some film. Just see the films, what kind of, first I think you have a doubt why BRC is working so much rigorously about the earthquakes. I think you all know that our nuclear facility has to be safe under normal load as well as earthquake loads. And earthquake loads, the probability of occurrence of the design based earthquake levels what we use in the nuclear facilities very, very less compared to the say in national standards, because safety very, very important. That is the reason why we have to work very rigorously, understand the structure system and components, their behavior and earthquakes, and try to improve the designs. And also if you keep on strengthening the structures, it's very difficult to stand on the in the market with respect to the per megawatt, per kilowatt cost also we have to keep in mind. So you have to have better technologies, and safety has to be maintained, cost effective technology has to be there. That's how we are working in BRC on the earthquake engineering. I hope that small doubts those have can be now clear about why the BRC working on earthquake engineering and safety related things. These are the some of the tests we have done. It's over. I hope you have seen the complete film. I was trying to explain. Actually, you have to run. It's not sure.
So you can click on the bar.
Yeah, that's right. It's a repeat. But not this, you have all the components seen, because I am trying to explain that. Okay.
It has shown the zones of.
Later on, a lot of tests were there in that. Oh. It's not there. Okay. I think maybe film is a problem. But I can show later at the end, you know, separately there is a film. Okay. So we have, doing a lot of, maybe in the country the testing part is concerned, maybe BRC doing a large number of tests, any part of the country, if you see any institute, if you compare BRC along with other institutes like CSIR laboratories, Central Power Research Institute, even I think largest shake table in the country, we only, DE has. For testing, you know, you require shake table, that's what you can see all the tests, whatever so far you have seen. The 100 ton shake table is at Kalpakkam, where we do a lot of tests, just started this year. Earlier we have 50 ton shake table at SERC, Structural Engineering Research Center. So largest shake tables also available in our department. Simple concepts, as I said, when earthquake comes, the ground will see the acceleration, displacement velocities. That is going to cause the force in the structures, and the forces you have to consider for design. If the force exceeds, it fails. Basically what happened, I said, you know, the simple equation of motion is the mx double dot inertia, kx is the resistance and cx dot is the damping in the system, is equal to applied force. Whenever the applied force in terms of the time is applied, then there is a amplification because of dynamics, because all these three components not in phase, your inertia, damping and the resistance not in phase, there is a chance that it is going to exceed than whatever static component of the dynamic loads. When it exceeds, particularly it is now comes under frequency of the structure, then frequency of the excitations and damping, as I said, these are the various parameters which governs the dynamic response of a structure. For every structure has a different natural frequencies. Because it has a different natural frequency and damping of the system, then whenever the earthquake comes, it has not going to have the same acceleration, all the structures not going to attract same acceleration. In Nepal, if you have a 3 hertz cycles per second frequency of the system, it has seen 0.85 into 2.5 times. The acceleration attracted by most of the structures are nearly about 2g. The horizontal acceleration attracted by structure in Nepal was about 2g, certain structures, which has a frequency of about 3 hertz. But that is the kind of acceleration seen, huge acceleration. That was the reason why the structure failed, if you talk more technically and engineering point of view. So every system has a certain kind of characteristics. If you put every system in terms of frequency or time period, inverse of the frequency, for a given earthquake, if you plot, you will get a spectrum. The spectrum says is the acceleration versus frequency, the frequency of the structure and vertical axis, the response of the structure at that frequency when the excitation is given. This is the one of the inputs generally used for the design, similarly for the other component. Now if you want to have a structure, where you want to keep in the spectrum? You have a two zones mainly, in the displacement control zone and you have the velocity control zone. You cannot go into the acceleration control zone, because if you want to have a same acceleration whatever the ground seen, also you want to see that the structure also going to see the same acceleration, it is very difficult. Because you have to make very very rigid structure, then it is like you are building the mountains. I heard that in a building, Arabia, Saudi Arabia, somewhere, huge structure. You see the bottom of structure is like a mountain, because height is very large, and the bottom will, because all the forces, because of winds, are finally transferred to the bottom, so you should have a lot of resistance. Similarly, earthquake, all the force is going to transfer bottom, so you should require huge structure. If you want to make very rigid, then cost also goes up, space will go very high. So most of the structures stand in the velocity control region, in the spectral portion if you see, the most of the structure stands here. Now if you are able to push the structure towards this, then you see that the acceleration attracted by the structure, therefore force generated will be very very small. Even it will not see the peak ground acceleration of the structure in the ground. Even you can reduce it if you are able to push the structure to the long period range. That is very very flexible structure if you make, then acceleration will not attack more. It is like you take a pendulum, just move it, so your hand moves but the pendulum stands there. That is very, very flexible system. It will not attract any acceleration. Only the displacement is there. If you are able to take the displacement in the design, definitely the flexible structures are better. So why I am now slowly building, how you make a very economical designs which can withstand the earthquakes and you make very safer structures. So better to have a very flexible thing. Now making very flexible structure is very, very difficult, maybe certain cases, but definitely you can have a high damping in the system. When you have a high damping in the system, as I mentioned, when the damping keep on increasing, your acceleration attracted, therefore forces generated will be less. If it is less, then you have safer structure for a given earthquake, whatever you have. And also you are, when you are making the acceleration less, then also your demand on the structural resistance also can be reduced, and hence your size of the structural members reduces and it will not occupy much space. These are the two, you know, concepts generally used in the design of structures which can have very, very low accelerations, response acceleration, hence the forces generated will come less. So these two technologies I am going to dwell upon in the rest of the lecture. So again the concept is trying to explain, you have a force calculated, force, if you know force, then you have a movement generated. When you have movement, then you can calculate what is the bending stress, you have a shear stresses, you have to see that all the stresses generated are within the acceptable limit. That is simple design for a given earthquake. So finally you have to reduce the force and movements on the structural component. You have a conventional design. The conventional design, what it does, it keeps on increasing the stiffness, the resistance keep on increasing. That means you put large number of columns, large number of bracings, large number of walls, it becomes very bulky to withstand the earthquake forces. So that is not economical generally, because it becomes very, very costly. And also you cannot ensure, because see, one of the important characters of the structure to withstand the earthquake is that it should be ductile. Ductile in sense, it should go for large deformations and should be able to take lot of energy so that it can have resistance, or it can attack the low stresses, low accelerations, and it will make more safe. That is simple principle. You have to have very ductile design. You cannot have very rigid. Keep on increasing the stiffness of the columns, then your beams, putting the bracings, you makes more brittle. So there is a catastrophic failure if certain acceleration exceeds little bit also, because you don't have much ductility in the system, it may fail catastrophically. So general advice is not going for the very rigid structures, go for the very flexible. Now how you going to achieve is, whatever you said, you should have a long period, and also you should have a high energy dissipating capability in terms of the damping. So this is one of the technologies that keep on increasing the strength of the structure as per the conventional procedures. But one part is there, as I mentioned to you, after the earthquake main shock, the structure deteriorates. Now I want to get back, there is a simple technology that you have fiber wrapping, then fiber laminates, you can say, put it very quickly, then you can restore back the structure very quickly, and this kind of technology you can use that has the resistance increasing. So this is one of the tests we have done on large scale structure, then we made it fail, then put back again, demonstrate that the conventional technology of retrofitting using the fiber wrapping, how it was useful to get back the original strengths. Those conventional methods is well known, there is no issue about it. But when you go for a conventional methods, is not, sometimes become very, very expensive. Not only the structure, even if you go for the nuclear facilities, the conventional methods if you adopt, the cost is very, very large. For your information, the cost of the plant goes is contribute, the contribution of the seismic design, seismic requirements is going up to about 20% of the total cost of the plant if you go for the conventional methods. But the new methods, what you say inexpensive methods, it's not going to have extra cost. The proper detailing, proper engineering will make the plants or structures safe for the earthquakes without giving a penalty on the cost. Now coming back to the other part of that, conventional method is simple. I am not talking more on the conventional method, how you are designing the structure for Simple principle is calculate the force and moments and see that you have some kind of resistance built in the in terms of columns or beams, etc., or bracings. That is structure. We are not talking about the equipment. Same concepts in the equipment piping also, you should have a good resistance. Now, in the third approach is a control approach, what you call is increasing a damping or isolator to make the structure very flexible. These are control techniques. How these techniques are going to be useful for seismic resistance, we are going to learn. See, you have seen that large number of earthquakes possible around the site, which has a different magnitude, different frequency characteristics. If you take a particular one part of the country, say let us talk about Bombay. If the earthquake happening because of Panvel, there is a fault, active fault called Panvel flexure, the acceleration records, whatever you see, say for example in the TAFR, if you record, it will have different characteristics. If you go to the East Coast fault and that causing the earthquake, again record the same TAFR, the characteristics of the earthquake motion will be different. And that is, has a many reasons. One is depends on the magnitude, depends some of the fault rupture, how it happened, and the geology, many aspects are really accounts for. Now, if you have a large number of, you know, big size earthquake, then you have, you know, low frequency components very large, and the distance also matters very large. And you know, when you talk about the small earthquake, you have high frequency component large because your earth is not disturbed much because of the low magnitude earthquake. So it is the frequency component of the ground motion at a particular site varies by earthquake by earthquake. When these characteristics, if you see now, if you design for a particular design basis, you cannot ensure that it is also designed for all possible earthquakes around the expected zone of your interest. If you want to take care of that, then you should have a, some kind of conservative approach. So if that is case, then demand goes up. So this uncertainty, understanding of earthquakes, there are a lot of gaps. So therefore, you have a large demand generally you are putting on the design requirement. In that case also, when you have this kind of new inexpensive methods like isolators and say dampers, you can take care very easily because you are moving the structure into the long period range. I hope I am talking maybe little bit more difficult things. Are you clear what I am talking? So if you have some questions, you can ask. So okay. Now, what is the principle is this? Whenever you know you have the new systems when you introduce in the structures, there is a, suppose we have a friction damper, you have the viscoelastic dampers. When you put in a brace, for example, you have a structure, then I'll show some of the pictures here. When you introduce in the bracing this kind of members, it dissipates a lot of energy. When the this particular structure is started oscillating, the energy is dissipated at the friction damper location. When the energy is dissipated, the energy going on to the rest of the structure reduces. That means the demand on the resistance, structural resistance members reduces, then it has a more capacity to take more bigger earthquakes. Now all the energy whatever you are trying to go ideally, if you dissipate into this area, then it is a better structure because you can design only for the normal loads, all the energy you can dissipate into this system. That is the concept. So you have mx double dot plus cx dot. Cx dot component is taken by only the new systems introduced in the structure. When you do that, the demand onto the actual structural load resistance member reduces. You just design for the normal loads. By putting this kind of extra elements in the structure, it can withstand. And the expensive, the cost involved is not very much. You just take two plates and you have to have two bolts and have a some well defined friction between the two plates, then it can have a lot of energy. So it is not going to be very costly. This is the simple logics we have. And you have some kind of yielding dampers where you have some kind of fuses. In electrical system you have fuses, right? And earthquake you introduce this kind of fuses which can go for large deformations and energy dissipation large. Therefore, so the forces on the structure keep reducing and the members whatever you are designing for the normal loads and ensure that that load is not exceeded because of this system because of earthquake, then it becomes safe under earthquake. Simple logic.
So these dampers, yeah, in the modern building,
yes, yes.
Prior to utilizing inside your concrete structure?
No, no, no. So, for example, you take two columns, then you have you can put a bracing and put a dam.
So, outside?
Yeah, outside. Wherever place is there, you have to put, because you have to also ensure that even suppose in the bottom portion, people like to have the place for parking. That should not be get disturbed. So, you have to make some kind of balance between the requirements and this. So, you can do that. There is no issue.
Part of the design.
Yes.
The building.
Yes.
Along with the concrete structure that we have.
Yes, yes.
You also have this fitting.
Now, you can make in the initial designs. Later on, say structure is made. Now, earlier say we are designed for certain acceleration levels. Now, the demand increase. Now, you want to qualify. Then, existing structure I can put connect these members. Now, for example, you have this column and this column. For example, you have a column there, you have a column here. Now, I can put a member connecting here and put a dam. You can connect these columns like this, bracings. Or I can put, there is a beam there, I can put a member there and connect bottom so that it will dissipate, that particular element will dissipate. And the demand onto this column reduces. The total energy has to be balanced. So, K into X is the resistance. Mx dot are inertia, Cx dot, I am trying to make sure that whatever input energy is mostly taken by the damping component. This, all these, you know, flexible components will dissipate the energy. Therefore, the demand on other parts reduces. And whatever you design for the normal modes also may be saved because all the energy you are dissipating with this because of dynamic nature. I hope that is like here, no? You have the simple, you have a column, then I am putting somewhere like fuse. So, this particular one will take all the energy and the demand onto the column reduces. Now, I mentioned, you know, lot of soft story structures fail. In the soft story, you can introduce here this kind of damper. So, lot of energy go there and the columns are safe under earthquake load. I am not doing much, it is only introducing some kind of small bracings. System. And this is a normal steel plates you can take, what a carbon steel plates available in the market. Even if you go to the maybe where scrap people, you can have the plates and cut it into the shape, I can use it. It is not very expensive at all. Only people should have idea how to have the designs little bit. And I think generally the people working in the design, they can easily catch this. They have the knowledge so much. So, they can design if you. But the awareness is very poor. Even the designers, this kind of technologies awareness slowly, slowly now understanding. See, in a whole country, we have this kind of devices. In Delhi, we have 7 buildings, 19-story buildings, this kind of devices made. Even our T2 terminal, our airport, they also have this kind of devices. In our DAE, some plants we have put, and the new designs we are introducing. So, slowly coming up. So, once you do that, then you are safe and the cost is not increasing. So, some new designs also we are doing with this kind of dampers, and retrofitting also we try to do. We have time, how much? 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I think because it's 5 minutes I will try to. But you know, concepts I try to, the energy whatever is imparted by the earthquake, I want to take away with the dampers or isolators. So that my structure which is designed for the static loads is safe. And is not demanding much onto the existing structural members. That is a simple concept. So that it becomes inexpensive. Basically the energy dissipation. I will introduce some, these are the some structures I was mentioning in India. We have these buildings, you know, 7 buildings, 19 story. You have a friction dampers introduced and there is a story behind it. I think maybe sharing with you all good. This particular one technology. This builder was a friend to a one Sardarji, is a having company in Canada. That particular Sardarji was a friend to this builder. Then this builder was looking, I want to say that these structures are designed in Delhi for earthquake loads. But as per the conventional method, the cost going on increasing. Then because of friendliness, he said, I will give you a device which will not increase the cost, but you can make a structure safe. Then he has introduced called Paul friction dampers. He put Paul friction dampers in the bracings of the structure and you can see the forces is very, this is the blue one is the force attracted by the structure with the dampers. The other one is without dampers. So, so much reduction was there, then the cost is not much because I said friction dampers is just friction plates. And that is the best because of friendliness and the technology was available, so he is able to introduce. But things are now slowly going up. So, we have some safe memory alloy dampers, is a nickel titanium wires where we have, it has a different characteristic because other members, when you have a earthquake, it has a residual displacement. But in the case of nickel titanium, it is a pseudo-elastic material. It can bring back the structure to the zero displacement. This is very important, very useful for the very sophisticated equipment. Here I want to talk about the fluid, you know, it's called tuned mass liquid dampers, where you are tuning the sloshing frequency with the structural frequency so that this sloshing will take away all the energy. I think I have some film, so we have a lot of tests done, some retrofitting all suggested. See, when you have a tanks on the top of the roof of the building, when the earthquake comes, it's going to slash like this. So, whatever the energy imparted onto the structure is gone into the sloshing of the liquid, the energy onto the structure will become very less. So, demand on the structure reduces. That's how you control, very simple. You have overhead tanks. When you have overhead tanks, the frequency of sloshing of that particular water in the tank may not be same as the structural frequency. But I can make a grid kind of things and introduce the frequencies of the, you know, sloshing in that particular tank, same tank but introducing some grids. I can have the same frequency of the structures, therefore you can control the vibrations. And also good for a tall structures, you know, now we are getting a lot of high-rise buildings in the city, maybe 75, 80 and 100 stories like that. They are subjected to a lot of wind loads and a lot of vibrations possible. I am sure they are using maybe the liquid dampers like that or tuned mass dampers to control the vibration and earthquake. In the Nepal, this pool you can see that. You can see the how the sloshing is. It takes a lot of energy. The sloshing of water takes a lot of energy which is coming onto the structure. Now, when the energy going into the sloshing of the structure, the energy going into the structure becomes very less. Only you have to ensure that this is tuned with the your natural frequency of the structure. When you tune it, all the energy will go into the sloshing of liquid and the energy onto the structural component becomes less. Very simple. Same overhead tanks. Today, I think because of fire requirement, you require to have certain amount of level of water in the tanks. In the case of fire, you should have the water for fire extinguishing. If that particular level is also enough, you properly design it, you can have tuning with the structural frequency, then you can control the vibrations. Not only the earthquake, but also the wind loads. So, we have a lot of tests and we try to do a lot of improvements in the liquids. We have a high viscous liquid, it is called hydrogel, which is used for whenever you have burns, then you put that gel, no, it will cool the burns. That has a high viscosity, so we have done some tests and we developed the damper with that hydrogel. It is having more energy dissipation because viscosity is very large. Then we also done a lot of tests, improved the ferro liquids, then with the magnets around that. So, some lot of research we have done and tried to develop this tuned liquid dampers big way. The interesting part about another this control device is the isolator. As I mentioned, when you put a isolator, the frequency of the structure goes to very small, that is long period structures. That makes the structure stands there, only the ground shakes. That is a concept. When only ground shaking, the structure is standing means you are isolating the ground motion reaching to the structure. That's why we say base isolators. It isolates the earthquake reaching to the structure. That's why isolators, base isolators. So, you can see simple things how the structure, if you see here, the structure is standing, only the ground is moving. Whereas the normal one, it deforms and you have a large stress generator. There also structure is standing there, like, you know, simple ship in the water. You know, ship try to there, only you have to have small cables connected and anchor it, otherwise it will not be seeing much force. And here also you can see. So, that is the concept. But this makes a flexible foundation makes your natural periods are very large, that is long period structure. Therefore, the long period component of the earthquake motion is very, very small. And the acceleration is very small. So, the acceleration posed onto structure is small. So, your demand on the structural component reduces. So, we have, you know, interestingly, we have maybe the one of the first peoples to put base isolated building in the country. It's experimental buildings. We have two buildings made in the highest seismic zone of the country, is a Guwahati. One is on the normal in a foundation, another is on the base isolators. We could see that, you know, if you see the, don't worry about the values, but the red one is conventional building, whereas the black one is an isolator. The acceleration attracted by the isolated building even less than your base excitation, very, very small. Compared to the excitation on the ground, also less, because you are putting into the very flexible system and the long period system. The acceleration attracted very small. These particular buildings we are getting, unfortunately, this major earthquake also that time power supply to the instruments were not there, otherwise we would have got this, that signal very nicely. So we get about 4 to 5 earthquakes data, we are understanding the behavior. This kind of technology is now available in the country, manufacturing and every part of this technology available in the country. People are slowly going on to this. Parallel to this, you know, same time the Bhuj hospital where we had a Bhuj earthquake. 2001, that time Vajpayee was the you know, Prime Minister of our country. He visited the Bhuj area, he found one hospital, both the doctors and patients died. On curiosity, he asked, you know, I want a hospital should not get disturbed by the earthquake. Then whole Prime Minister office worked for that. In his own tenure, the hospital was made within 2 years, and he himself inaugurated that hospital on the isolator. That hospital is the state-of-art hospital with respect to earthquake as on today. Now another hospital is coming up in Delhi, I think construction is started, base isolators. So we also nuclear facilities, we are also some of the buildings we are making an isolator. So that the reason is that, you know, I'll tell maybe after some time. Here you have to have a concept, you know, that when you make the isolators, you should also be able to lift the building in the case of any deterioration in the isolator. So that is a design part. We also lifted this whole building with the jogs, replaced with the old ones and put the new ones. That's what the film shows. Yeah. So we have lifted whole thing. We have made different isolators to understand the behavior of these isolators. So that is one of the requirements in the case of isolators. Here, you see this particular building. You know, in New Zealand, I think maybe his son is there, I think. So New Zealand is very highly earthquake prone area, and lot of retrofitting they do. In this, library is continuously in use, but they retrofitted this one by cutting the columns at the bottom, putting the isolators, whatever you can see here. This is, they cut the columns, the disturbance, no activities were not disturbed, cut the columns nicely and they put isolators so that it can take more earthquakes and safe for earthquakes. So technology is available in this kind of things, where this particular technology you can also use for Jodhpur. I said, you know, a lot of heritage structures you can definitely use and ensure that this can be also safer and earthquake we'll be keeping forever. This all technology available not only the abroad but also in our country. This very, all the technology, all the methodology how to put in the existing structures or old structures is available. This is some kind of procedures. This is a hospital I was mentioning, Bhuj Hospital. This particular one is the one in the superstructure how it looks, but if you see the bottom, you have the isolators. And this can withstand whatever earthquake, because it can go, the deformation go up to 200%. Now you have a margin 2 to 3 times, you know, it can take, suppose you initially design is for 0.2G, it can definitely easily can go 0.8G. So it will not be disturbed by us, Vajpayee that time demanded, it will not get disturbed by the earthquake. So this kind of things we can definitely incorporate, and the cost, that is the cost people say, the cost is maybe the cheaper. So strongly I can say is a cheaper if you don't use isolator and design for a given earthquake load as per the national standards, it will be cheaper, because when you put isolator, the acceleration attracted by the superstructure very small. So the column sizes, whatever required otherwise, sizes are very small. Whatever saving you are going to make in the structural components will be, you know, saving is more than whatever you are going to spend on the isolators. So this is the one of the things why when you put the, you know, new kind of systems is costly, but definitely is not costly. Your structural becomes cheaper and more safe. That's why I say inexpensive. And this is one of the interesting one, I think everybody must be remembering that Fukushima. The Fukushima event, when it happened, there are, you know, a lot of failures in the plant because of power supply was a problem. That Fukushima earthquake, when it happened, I think most of the structure has a some kind of release of activity, I think even outside also. But they made one building on this kind of technology, the base isolators, that was made just 2 years before the Fukushima event. Because they had another Kashiwazaki one earthquake event where they had a big problem to open certain doors where they have to see the plant condition good or bad. Then based on that, they made a building as a disaster management building on isolator. Same time, they also made Kashiwazaki as well as this. That's the only building helped to manage whole disaster because it was not disturbed by the earthquake. So this particular technology nowadays, everybody, you know, even in the international level, people are demanding you should go for certain structures which can withstand. The margins are very large, and you have, you know, more a building which can be used for disaster management. So you have, you know, this kind of bridges also retrofitted as the demand increasing. And you say, for example, as I said, always the demand keep on increasing. We say earlier we started with zone 1, 2, 3, 4, but today we have 2, 3, maybe after some time we will find 3, 4, 5 only. Because definitely, you know, if you see long run, millions of years later, people say the, you know, Indian plate may not be existing. So the disturbance may be keep on increasing. Therefore, the seismic demand also may be keep on increasing as the time passes. Because you can, I think you must have heard our Indian plate moving about 3 to 4 centimeters per year towards the Eurasian plate. If you calculate now what is the total length, how many years you can expect when it is going to be there, right? But what I want to say, as the time passes, the disturbance into the Indian plate is very large. The intraplate earthquake events are increasing. Therefore, our zones may be becoming, one has gone, two, three, two also may go, and three, four, like that, to keep on. The earthquake demand on the safety of structures may be increasing. If that is the case, this kind of technologies are very useful. Of course, we have another, you know, technology is very inexpensive, is that if you have a, most of the, you know, Indian plate, what I want to say, the peninsula India, we have a rock sites. Rock site means if you go very shallow depth, even say for example TFR, if you go very maybe 5-6 meters, you have a very good rock. If that kind of situation is there, when you start foundation from the rock, you have a very soft soils below the footings of the structure or the foundation of the structure, that will have a good base isolation effects. It will try to see that this earthquake is not reaching the structure. What you have to see, you should have a proper design of the what type of layer, what type of soil you have to put below the foundation. And if you have small, you know, design calculations, then you can have a layer of sand or layer of a soft soil which can isolate your structure, and it is safe because you are designing further anyway. So this kind of technology also we try to develop, and we have done a lot of tests and shown it is very useful to control the risk. This is the last slide, because I do not know how many people really, I try to speak a lot of things in every slide. I hope some concepts you understood. This inexpensive technology like isolator, dampers and natural soils and all, if you try to have proper engineering and put into the structure, then the structure becomes very safe. Coming to the old structures, the steps involved is, first you have to assess the health of the structure, is good or bad. If not, try to improve the health of the structure. Then afterwards you see whether what is the capacity of the structure. If the capacity of the structure is exceeding the demand of as per the today's national standards, then you go for the retrofitting. The retrofitting can be done with the conventional methods or this inexpensive methods, whatever I explained, dampers or isolators. I think this is the last slide. I try to speak, maybe I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much. I hope you have got something. Yeah. Yes, yes. They have to qualify.
I'm asking them. Is it, for example, in the freeway?
Yeah. See, most of the building, you know, this particular bridges, no? For normally you have the same kind of, you know, friction pads and the isolator.
I'm not asking.
For seismic. Yes, yes, that's there. Yeah, codes are there. They have to follow very strictly. Yes, yes. They have to design. You can see if you go to Delhi and say Mumbai, the, you know, flyovers, if you notice, the deck has column, then you have a stoppers. You know, when you put that deck with the supports, you have a stoppers. That is a codal requirement. It should not slide as shown, all the decks are falling down because earthquake. To avoid that, they have. Coming to Mumbai, it's zone 3, that is not a demand. The friction is enough, so you don't need to put a stopper. So you can see the difference. So people are following now a little bit rigorously. That kind of designs are there.
Present to him this particular structure, which is all of course familiar to you, where you see it, and I hope he likes.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.